My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Welcome in, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Happy Tuesday to you. Let's get your heads right. And man, the chat, you had me all nervous. I was looking at the YouTube chat. There was nobody there. And then all of a sudden, it just blows up. It's like they have their alarm set for 5:58. But I was in there, I was in there at 4 a.m. this morning. 4:04 is when I walked in the door today. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Rindo, the EP, executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
5:04, I think, was when I walked
in. Yep. Benjamin Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, 5:33 for Benjamin.
I woke up. First thing I do when I get up, probably like most of us nowadays, is I reach over for my phone. Mm-hmm. And I open up Twitter just to see if anything has happened while I was sleeping. And the first tweet I saw was a picture of our studio clock. I know it well.
4:04.
As I have to stare at it for 4 hours every single day.
Yep.
And it was a picture that you took at 4:04 a.m. And I was wondering, I know he gets here early, but why would Woods be here so very early this morning in an empty building? It's possible, so he can lord over us the fact how early he gets here and how well prepared he is for the show.
I can start posting pictures of how late I stay.
I also feel like that wasn't the reason, though. I feel like there was another reason you were here so early.
Yeah, it had nothing to do with you guys. I was woken up again, 2:35 in the morning. Your old pal Wood's not going to be around much longer, based on the quality of sleep and sleep that I get. I'm going to drop dead. At some point, I would guess in the next 2 years, if I keep up this routine. So it's been nice knowing you guys. It's been fun. Really enjoyed entertaining, trying to entertain people. But it's just not a, it's not tenable. It's not a tenable situation. You can't live on 3 hours of sleep, 3.5 max. You just can't do it. So
I've done it for years.
You can't do it. You can't do it. You can't do it. I think when you fall asleep,
tell me more.
I think when you fall asleep, you get REM sleep.
I'm out like a light.
I get none. Zero. I'm 4 minutes a night of REM sleep. I'm at my wit's end.
You think it's because you've got kids? That is stressful, having the young kids.
It's because I have a spouse that gets up at 1 o'clock in the morning. There's no question about it.
You have a big house. Maybe you ought to sleep in separate bedrooms.
Maybe I should sleep in another state, because that's what I'm considering today, is if I will live in another state at this point and do maybe afternoons somewhere. Yeah, man, it's just kicking my ass, dude. It's very, very tough. Somebody said I should go to one of those sensory deprivation tanks. If I could get one in my house, I would do it. I would absolutely do it.
Sponsor alert.
Anyone have a sensory deprivation tank that I can move into my home and just, all right, that's it, and just get inside? It's just untenable, man. It's not a situation for me that works anymore. I'm just cash.
So you can't sleep through someone waking up.
Benny, let's say this is my bedroom. Okay? This is our bedroom, or my bedroom. And I hear this from the other room. Just, I'm dead asleep, and I hear this. I'm up.
Just tiny noise
like that. The tiniest effing noise. Like, here, again. I'm up. So it's not like people are like, oh, man, this guy says I've done it my whole Army career. And I'm like, well, I mean, if it works for you, great. What I'm telling you is it doesn't work for me. I don't sleep well. I don't sleep long. It's just not working.
Earplugs. So,
try it.
Mask.
Try it. Got it. Got it all. Ambien. Name it. The next thing is like I don't know, six whiskeys or something?
Heroin.
Just heroin, maybe, Paulie. I mean, just pass out. So, Andrew says, my body is telling me that I don't need to sleep. That's false. It's absolutely false, man. Anyway, so that's why I got it. Once I'm up, I'm like, well, I'm up. I might as well go in and see if I can whip up any magic here in the studio. I was not able to. So
we did not.
We did not whip up any magic. But, you know, you never know until you go in there. So, yeah, man. It's today is, yeah, somebody made the point. The start of a new winning streak starts today. Do we kiss this roach or do we smash this dude into 1,000 pieces? I still don't know. I'm going to give the roach. How about this?
Last time we kissed it on Friday, they won.
Okay,
so
let's give this little turd one more shot.
Won.
They have the best record since we started kissing the roach
in
baseball.
It's been unreal since the roach came in. All right, now that means you stomp it out. But, you know, listen, despite my tiredness, I am very happy to be here. I'm excited about our show today. We have something a little different coming up in just the next segment. And I had the chance to watch American sports story Aaron Hernandez. And I was struck immediately with the performance of Josh Rivera, who plays Aaron Hernandez. And we're going to be joined by him and one of the producers, Stu Zickerman,
I think so.
Is going to be joining us in the next segment. But it's one of those docu-series dramas. It's going to be airing on FX, and it starts
A week from today. The best comparison.
Set your DVRs.
It's a Ryan Murphy directed docuseries.
That's how Bo would say his name.
Murphy.
Oh, Ryan Murphy. Yeah, Ryan Murphy.
And it's like a biopic. It's a dramatization. It's not a documentary that you've seen. Like Netflix had a huge three-part
documentary,
which was really good.
Yep.
This is totally different. It's supposed to be different. The best comparison would be it's the same
OJ.
People that did the OJ one where Cuba Gooding Jr.
So good,
played
man.
OJ. And,
so good. Did we all not love that one?
Who was
I mean, we I loved it.
Ross
was Kardashian. It was brilliant.
I'm curious, though, if it's more of a authentic dramatization or more like the Winning Time Lakers where the people involved would go, that's not how it happened. That's not this. This is all just made up for drama, for television purposes. And I'm going to ask the Stu, the producer, like how close to reality did you try to keep it or how much did you try to pizzazz it up for entertainment value?
I mean, I think there's always a little pizzazz you have to add and you know, kind of take some stretches on some storylines. But I think the bare bones, if you watch the documentaries, did you watch the Aaron Hernandez docs?
I did see some of those, yeah.
Yeah, so it stays pretty true to that and uses a lot of stories that, like, his brother wrote a book, too, that's really telling. And talking about his sexuality and where he was with that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big player in this series as well. And I had the chance to do the advanced screening on it. And it's staggeringly good. And this guy, Josh Rivera, was so good, man. I just can't tell you, again, this performance.
That's what fascinates me the most. I'm very excited that we were able to get him on the show.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, from what I've been told, he's not much of a football guy. He didn't play a ton of football. He wasn't a big sports guy.
Wait till I ask him about his background in acting, and
he's
you're going to be really surprised.
And I'm like, dude, how do you prepare to play a murderer?
Yes.
A
sociopathic.
Crazy person.
Yep, 100%.
I mean, we all know the story, and I'm like, dude, that's gnarly to prepare for a role like that.
I can't wait, and I hope we can get to keep him on for a little bit of time, because we're going to do that in the next segment. So we're actually going to break a little bit early so we can knock that out. It's the only time they had available. And then we will get into some of the other...
No Padres last night?
No Padres, yeah, 100%. So I hope everyone enjoyed a peaceful night at home. Just hate watching other teams like I did. And watching some Monday Night Football, and we'll talk about that. Thanks so much to the 49ers for your transparency. Really, really
we
cool.
We will definitely
really
talk
cool.
about
Thanks
fantasy
so much.
Football carnage.
It's not just fantasy.
Last night.
Yeah, it's so much that went into that last night. So we'll talk about all of that and then some this morning here on Ben and Wolf.
All right, I don't mind changing things around a little bit.
Yeah.
So a little early
Switch
break. Kelly's traffic, and then we'll come back with Josh Rivera, star, and Stu Zickerman, producer of the new Aaron Hernandez movie coming to FX. Next, it's a 97.3 The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the audio.
So very impressed that you got an advanced screener just for you with your name watermarked on it.
It was a cool thing.
To make sure it couldn't leak out to anyone else.
It's only the second time I've ever had that. I got an advanced screener of Birdman, which was the Michael Keaton
yes,
movie.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, and I felt like I had made it at that point. And but man, I was happy to get. I love the 10-parter, to be able to binge that, and it's just excellent.
Well, the problem is when I get super excited for a show, it's like 4 episodes or 3 parts or something.
Yes.
You're like, I need more.
I gotta have more, and this one does not disappoint.
Now, the reason you got that screener is because we got some special guests on early today, and joining us right now, the star of American Sports Story, Aaron Hernandez, playing Aaron Hernandez in the limited FX series, debuting next week. We've got Josh Rivera with us. Josh, good morning to you.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Really, really good.
Doing great.
And we also have the producer of the program, American Sports Story, Aaron Hernandez. Stu Zickerman is here. Stu, also welcome.
Hey, guys.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
It's great to have you guys. I wanted to start with Josh. Got to watch the entire series. Blew me away. And I think when I found out kind of your background, this was quite a departure from West Side Story, right? I mean, your West Side Story one day, and the next day you are a psychopathic, sociopathic football player that is literally high the entire series. I've never seen a human being smoke as much weed as your Aaron Hernandez did.
Yeah, we had this special herbal, like, it was basically like smoking tea leaves. And man, it tasted pretty bad. But it was quite a big departure, wasn't it? As far as genre and the kinds of things I had to do, which was a fantastic opportunity and a terrific challenge. Because obviously, like, I'm always competing with myself. I'm trying to one up myself with everything I've done previously, and so this was a great opportunity for me to just do something completely different and flex some different muscles. I'm really happy you enjoyed it, man. That means a lot.
I did. Very, very much.
Yeah, Stu, these sports dramatizations have become really big. The OJ, the Lakers series on HBO. My question to you is, when you take something from real life and turn it into somewhat a dramatization, how close were you trying to remain to the real life events and what we knew about the Aaron Hernandez story?
Well, I mean, I think what's amazing about the Hernandez story is, like, we don't really know that much, right? Like, I mean, we've seen the documentaries and we've read the articles and all they can do is speculate. No one really knows what was going on and no one really knows why Aaron, did some of the things he did, killed Odin Lloyd. It's such a mystery. And I think, what's great about doing a show like this and the reason to do a show like this is, we in the writer's room can sort of get together and take everything we know about it and all the research and try and connect the dots. and try and come up with answers and take the audience, you know, into the room where Aaron asks Belichick for a trade, or out to Odin, where, you know, then we can take you there and try and sort of like piece the whole thing together in a more complex way.
Yeah, no question about it. And I thought, you know, I didn't look at it and say, man, I've seen them take a lot of liberties here. It all stayed fairly true to what I had seen in the past. And joined by Josh Rivera, who played Aaron Hernandez, and Stu Zickerman, the producer, one of the producers from the new Aaron Hernandez movie coming out on FX, debuts next week. Josh, another question for you. I'm looking at you now. You've probably had to drop some pounds, but I know you had to put on about 30 pounds of muscle, and you had to add the tattoos. Can you tell us about the process of adding all that muscle? Because I would like to do that. And then also getting those tattoos put on you every day. What was that experience like?
Yeah. So I'll start with kind of the fitness regimen, because what was really cool about that is that I had been in Hunger Games just before that. And, you know, I had to slim down for that because the Hunger Games, you know. And so I was at the lightest that I'd ever been at that point. So I really wanted to get back in shape anyways. And the fact that it was company subsidized was really great. But there's no sexy Hollywood secret, man. To be honest, they hooked me up with a trainer. And I just worked out every day, probably 5 days a week. And I guess the only thing special about it was I had a nutrition help where it was just kind of eating clean food, but like a ton of it, like a ton of food. I have never before, like, I got a big appetite. I've never been in a position where I did not want to eat and I had to make myself eat before. It was pretty bizarre. But yes, I put on a ton of weight in like 3 months. It was like carrying around a whole different body. It was pretty wild. And the tattoos, we had a special effects person. His name's Dave Presto. He's my favorite guy. I love that dude. He's got like 11 Emmys or something crazy. But he drew all the tattoos, and he was able to reference a lot of the chronology of, because, you know, he starts with only a few, Aaron does.
Yeah.
And then it eventually becomes huge sleeves and body tattoos. So he drew these and made kind of these stencils that he was able to piece together in different ways on my arms. And what I would have to do in the trailer is I had these basically like gymnastic handles that I would hold on to for hours. I had to do this, and they would put all the tattoos on. We would put on like movies and stuff like that. The whole thing took about like 3 to 3.5 hours every day. It's pretty wild.
Well, first of all, I'm stunned because every other tweet is the secret Hollywood stars don't want you to know about getting in shape. And he just told us there's no secret. You just have to work hard.
No, they're liars. They're liars.
Well, how about the football part of it? Because when we watch you line up, when we watch you running routes, when we watch you, you know, I'm assuming making at least some of these catches that you had to make, taking hits, things like that, it looked to be a little bit grueling. How does one prepare for that?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked. So I have a little bit of a football background, but I've never been tight end. I was a guard and a linebacker. So I have stone hands. I can't catch for garbage. Mm-hmm. And so I had to do, like, while I was working out during pre-production, I did a lot of work with some of the football coordinators to get those stances to look natural. And to, you know, get those routes to look natural, working on my receiving skills and all of that stuff. And there was about a week towards the beginning, you know, a lot of the less contact stuff is me, and some of the quick routes, you can see my face and stuff like that. All the cool stuff, like the really, really cool looking stuff, that's probably somebody else, to be honest. Because there was one week or like a span of a couple days while we were doing some of the Florida football where I was like, I'm doing the football. Like, I played football. I'm a football player. I gained 30 pounds. Like, I can do this. And oh my gosh, I got the crud kicked out of me that day. I remember the next day my bones were hurting. Everything was hurting. Like, my eyeballs were hurting. I was like, man, get my stunt double in there. This is crazy.
100%.
Talking to actor Josh Rivera, producer Stu Zickerman from the American Sports Story, Aaron Hernandez, debuting on FX next week. And Stu, I want to ask you about the casting process. Not just Josh, but you're casting, you know, people who we know in real life, like Bill Belichick and Urban Meyer.
Tim Tebow,
who I just saw, is Arnold Schwarzenegger's son. How do you pick people that are going to be convincing to an audience that already knows these people in real life?
Yeah, again, it's a challenge. You know, I think that, I've always felt like when I watch a show like this, you know, because I'm a big sports fan, I watch a show where, you know, someone's playing someone, you know, I never think they look exactly like them at the first second, but very quickly, if it's good, like, I forget about that because the person sort of embodies the part, you know? And I think that for us, we were just looking for people that can sort of like dimensionalize these characters, you know? The Belichick one's like the best example. It's because like, that's a hard part to write.
Yeah.
You know, we spent a lot of time in the writer's room thinking about like, how do we write Belichick? You know, it's like everything you know about him, he's so private and he's kind of curmudgeon-y and like, that's not going to be fun for an audience to watch. You know, so like you have to think about how you're going to sort of bring these people to life. And then you have to cast it with actors. You know, our actor who plays Belichick just ran to the role, you know, and just sort of like, you know, filled it up with air. And you sort of hope all your actors do that. And I think that when actors sort of like Josh was, you know, Josh always says, you know, it's like when you embody the role and you make it your own, I think the audience very quickly kind of forgets what they're looking at and they just start watching and rooting for the character.
That's a really good point that you make. And I thought the guy that played Urban Meyer, I forgot. I just assumed after a couple of episodes, oh, I'm watching Urban Meyer in a hospital right. bed, talking to his wife. That's what I pictured. And Josh, last one for me. So I got to imagine when you do your research and learn more about the Aaron Hernandez character. Look, man, I don't know that sympathetic is the word that I feel for him, but I do, when you kind of put the pieces together with him, I go, okay, I mean, it explains a lot. And where do you think he kind of lost his way? Was it high school? Was it Florida? Was it the NFL? And we talked about it a little bit on the show yesterday. All of the steps that everyone took to ensure, like, he stayed out of trouble, none of it worked. I mean, he was just kind of a lost soul from the very beginning. So when you played him, did you find yourself connecting with him at all or feeling sympathetic? Because I'm telling you, with the performance you laid out there, it had my mind spinning a little bit.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you felt that way because that means I did my job correctly. Just because approaching something, I try to approach everything from an actor's standpoint. Like part of my job, a really huge component is to have empathy for the person that I'm playing.
Sure.
You know, and if we're talking about the reality of it, like the facts are the facts. Like I don't have a huge amount of sympathy for the situation, but when I'm approaching it from a character lens, like I have to make this like a realized whole person. And when you're talking about where he lost his way, obviously, like a lot of people have speculations. My personal belief is I think it started to go downhill once he, and this was reinforced when I was able to watch the show. There's a specific moment where he realizes that he just got away with something for the first time. And you see the cinematography in that scene is really powerful because you can just see it register that he doesn't play by the same rules as everybody else. And that dawns on him. And I think things just get worse and worse from there. Because when you compound that realization with, kind of a degenerative brain or with a myriad of other issues that he's running into in his life, any normal person would be at least a little bit swayed by the premise of by consequences. But he knows early on that he doesn't have to face those. He doesn't play by the same rules because he's really good at football and everybody wants to see him win. I think that was a pretty huge contributor.
Well, we're very excited about American Sports Story, Aaron Hernandez. Gentlemen, thank you for your time. Let's get on with the hard work of promotion now after you put it all together. Thank you so much.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, guys. Thank you for watching. We really appreciate it.
Our pleasure, man. Thanks so much.
Thanks,
great job.
Thank you, Josh Rivera, American Sports Story. Aaron Hernandez set to premiere September 17th. That is 1 week from today on FX. And how many episodes is it? Ten.
Ten
episodes.
Brilliant.
Not really set up for a season two, I would think.
No, I think season two is not in the cards. But I mean, the guy's performed. You'll see. I mean, what a great dude! Number one, you can just, you know, see what a great guy he is, and then to watch his performance, the transformation into this absolute, you know, sociopath is really dynamic. It's really well done. It's you know, like you said, a dramatization, but he crushes it.
I was just hanging up with them on Zoom, and they were still hearing you talking about, like what a great dude. Like, yeah. What a great performance. And he was just raising his arms.
He did, man. He knocked it out of the park.
I mean that's got to be so much fun. This part of the job, like, the job's not over once you cut the final scene.
Right.
The promotion, and I could hear them. They were talking about plans of when they're going to L.A. next for, like, Emmy stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's got to be the fun part. Like, that's all the hard work paying off.
I really liked his performance so much that, like, I don't know that I would go watch West Side Story before. No, now that he's in it, I'm like, all right, maybe I'll go watch West Side Story. You know, I mean, he was brilliant. Brilliant in it.
And the process of having to get the tattoos.
I know the straps he's talking
single
about.
Day.
You know
yeah.
those? You just stick your arms, arms through them and just, like, hang there. I mean, I can't even imagine. Also, like, 30 pounds of muscle. Holy smokes. It's that easy.
But they paid him to do it.
I know. Yeah, it's on the house. It's great.
Interesting stuff.
Yeah,
good for a non-Padres morning when they didn't have a game last night. A fun way to start the show. We will talk some baseball coming up, but since we're already on Hollywood, a little shout out to his family.
Not a little one.
Absolute. Legend.
Legend. I loved your tweet last night, too. We can bring that back.
Thank you.
I think you're right on that.
Am I right? Is he the one person we can all agree on?
He's the one person I think that everybody can agree on.
I think so.
Who doesn't like James Earl? Who's the edgelord out there that's like, he's not that great?
That's coming up next with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
The one constant through all the years, Ray, been baseball. America has rolled by like an army of steamrollers. It's been erased like a blackboard, rebuilt and erased again. But baseball has marked the time. This field, this game, is a part of our past, Ray. It reminds us of all that once was good and it could be again. People will come, Ray. People will most definitely come.
You don't like Field of Dreams?
I love Field of Dreams.
Fine. Think it's corny.
Literally.
Unrealistic. Corny, literally. You don't even like that speech. It's overwrought. Whatever. How can you not like the delivery, though? James Earl Jones, as I tweeted yesterday, is the one person that we could all agree on. Right?
Like Padres and Dodger fans.
Yeah.
The Crips and the Bloods. Everybody agrees that James Earl Jones was an absolute treasure and an artist and a G. I mean, to the very end. What a part of all of our youths. Doesn't matter that we're 15 years apart, Paulie. He was a part of your youth, as well as mine and Ben's.
Oh, yeah.
You know, with Darth Vader, you know, Hulk. Luke. Like, it's iconic. He's just an icon. And then yours.
Obi-Wan never told you what happened to your father.
He told me enough. He told me you killed him.
No. I am your father.
It just blows your mind. Our youth, your youth, Paulie, with, like, Lion King and stuff. I mean.
Look, Simba. Everything the light touches.
My kids.
Is our kingdom. A king's time as ruler rises and falls like the sun. One day, Simba, the sun will set on my time here and will rise with you as the new king.
I mean, as iconic and as long of a career as he had, yeah, I was born in 1990.
Right.
Lion King, I want to say 92, 93. Like, it was one of my first movies that I just loved. The Sandlot. You know, he was in that one.
Of course.
And you're just like, man, he's just... He's iconic.
Iconic. Yep.
100%. Absolutely iconic.
100%. And I saw that news come down yesterday. It was just kind of like a, oh man, 93 years old. Tip of the hat to you, sir, for a long, really fruitful life, certainly. And I would say, for me, for my money, I'd say the best pipes of all time.
I tend to agree.
I was going to tweet it yesterday, but I thought, all right, Woodsy, this is a knee-jerk reaction. Whose pipes are better than James Earl Jones? And I sat there and I went, man, there's some good ones. You know, there's some good pipes out there.
There are. Benedict Cumberbatch has a really good voice, but not as good as James Earl Jones.
No, I'm trying to think of best pipes of all time.
I mean, Morgan Freeman's on there.
Morgan Freeman's pipe. His is his delivery as well, but James Earl Jones with the deep and rich. That's your finger. I mean,
even watching the news growing up, this is CNN.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was him. That was him. That was James Earl Jones.
King Joffy Joffer in Coming to America, one of my favorite characters with the giant lion's head around his body. You've seen Coming to America,
yes.
Right? The original.
Yes.
So brilliant, brilliant career. Was very bummed to see it yesterday. But 93 is it's a good run, my friend. A very, very good run. So you know how we do it on this program.
And I really hope we can see more unity and more peace when already things are so difficult. So shout out to his family.
And good news here. Julian reminded us in the chat, as Paulie reminded me and Ben, that Disney actually licensed his voice to use pretty much whenever they want. So we will definitely get more James Earl Jones as time passes. I don't really know how I feel about that.
Like AI James Earl Jones?
Yeah, I think that's the thing.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that either.
I don't know how to feel about it. When in reality, like...
Or is it like they licensed it to Lucas, then now Disney, and like Darth Vader will always be James Earl Jones?
Like, if
I don't know that we're going to get a new
Darth Vader stories.
I mean,
he was never the guy in the Darth Vader suit.
No, it was a different guy.
That was a different actor.
Yeah.
David Prowse.
Mm-hmm.
But it was his voice.
But he's really, really great. But I don't know how to feel if it's AI.
It would have been weird if they'd taken off the helmet and Luke's father was James Earl Jones.
Not impossible, but
I guess not.
Not impossible, but it would have been a little bit different. Paulie, do you have that clip?
I do.
Okay, so yesterday, my friend Jack, it was actually Jack's idea. I want to give him credit. He goes, dude, tomorrow, I'm assuming you're going to do shout out to his family for James Earl Jones. I said, yeah, at prime time, there's no Padres game. So
shout out to his family.
We're going to mess around a little bit. He said, have Paulie run that through a Darth Vader filter. I go, it's a great idea. So I sent it to Paulie. I said, try to run that through a filter. Paulie sent it back to us, and it hasn't really caught up yet.
We don't have the same systems as Disney and Lucasfilms, apparently.
Yeah,
or maybe James Earl Jones is just so good that AI can't handle him.
Maybe they're like, it's too hard, but this
is Darth Vader filter.
Yeah.
Shout out to his family.
Excuse me? One more time.
Shout out to his family.
His family?
His family.
Hey, it's James Earl Jones. I'm from Wisconsin. How are you? Hey,
shout out to his family.
People will come, Ray. I swear to God, they will. They will. People will come, Ray. Baseball continues to just move on at its own pace. So people will most definitely come, Ray. Hey, how are you? Hey, did she get that hat tag out of her throat yet? Where's Moonlight Graham? Hey, Dak, can you get over here? And get that hot dog out of her mouth.
Shout out to his family.
It's the weirdest thing I have ever heard. Shout out.
That's the worst filter of all time.
It's literally the worst filter of all time.
I almost didn't even say
Did you find that under bad Star Wars filters?
It was like the first thing that
Hey, shout out to his family. What in the hell is going on in here, dude?
Oh.
Shout out to his family. Hey, how are you?
Shout out to his family.
Yeah,
family.
Welcome to Chicago. Hey, how are you, James? Rest in peace.
Oh, God.
And more Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah, it's James more Earl Dan Jones. Aykroyd. God. Well, so if that's what we have to look forward to, then I'm going to pass, okay, on the whole thing. Hey, how are you, Ben? I know you want to talk Padres and all your math that you did last night.
I do want to.
I know
well,
you do.
I had a purpose for it.
I know you did.
Do you know what my purpose was?
To enrage me.
No, that was not my purpose. I was trying to calm everybody down a little bit, and I succeeded. So with some people, I succeeded. Talk about that coming up right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. Baseball coverage on 97.3 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits, still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Yeah, with no Padres game last night, it was full on scoreboard watching and hoping for a little bit of help. And the Padres did get some from a pair of old friends, Ty France with an RBI double in the second inning, and Nick Martinez with seven innings of two-hit shutout ball as the Cincinnati Reds beat the Atlanta Braves 1-0. That knocks the Braves 2.5 games behind the Padres and a game behind the Mets, who pulled one out against the Blue Jays on a wild pitch and a pass ball in the eighth inning to get a 3-2 road win. So right now, Padres, game and a half up. Diamondbacks, a half game behind the Padres. Mets, a game and a half behind the Padres. And the Braves, 2.5 games behind the Padres, with the top three advancing to the postseason at the end of the regular season.
Yeah, I was put on the end of that game, the Blue Jays game, and they had a runner on first.
Winning run at the plate.
Winning run at the plate.
Two outs.
Edwin Diaz on the bump, and he hangs a slider, and this guy goes oppo, and he sends it back to the wall. And I'm like, here we go. Walk off win, right up against the wall, makes the catch. And I'm like, man, the Mets' magic is really
happening.
He
wasn't quite Jackson Merrill in that situation.
No, and they had the bases loaded and ended up scoring, like you said, on a pass ball and a wild pitch. And it was like, oh, okay, well, they're clearly going to win this game. And, man, it was their magic is not seeming to dissipate right now.
But why I did so much math on Twitter last night, I really have seen a lot of nervous Padres fans coming out of the woodwork after just two losses in a row by your San Diego Padres. And, of course, the tightening of the wild card standings. And, you know, there are the doomers, and, like, this is how it starts, and the Padres are heading toward a very bad place in which they're going to miss the playoffs. And I want it, and it is absolutely possible that the Padres can still miss the playoffs. They aren't guaranteed anything.
Many would say probable.
That is incorrect. That's what I wanted to point out.
So
for the Padres to miss the playoffs at this point, they would have to be passed by all three of those teams that are behind them. Now, the Diamondbacks are only a half game behind. Padres play the Diamondbacks three times. Clearly, they could pass the Padres without too much consternation there. The Mets are only a game and a half back and have the tiebreaker on the Padres. So, yeah, there's a very realistic world in which if the Mets continue playing well, they could pass the Padres. But the Braves, no, that's especially after yesterday's loss, that's a little bit of a different story. Yes, they're only 2.5 games back, and there's 17 games to play. So there's time, especially if Padres don't play well. But remember, the Padres own the tiebreaker over the Atlanta Braves, which means for the Braves to pass the Padres, they're going to have to win four more games than the Padres the rest of the way.
Okay.
Four more. So, for instance, if the Padres went 10-7 the rest of the season, which would be 7-7 and sweep the White Sox, for example, the Braves would have to go 14-4 to pass the Padres.
Okay.
And the Braves, by the way, still have four against the Dodgers, three against the Phillies, and three against the Mets.
I like that.
Which they can, they're at home. I mean, they can win some of those. Like I said, nothing is guaranteed. But the Braves would have to pretty much play out of their mind to get to 14-4, with the Padres just kind of playing okay at 10-7. Even if the Padres have their worst stretch of the year, by the way, I checked, their worst 17-game stretch of the season is 6-11. It's when they had 2 5-game losing streaks at the beginning of June, won a few games in between. That's the worst they've done all year in 17. The Braves would still need a winning record to pass the Padres. They need to go at least 10-8 in their last 18 games to pass the Padres. So, yes, it's possible. But no, it's not like, oh, this is definitely about to happen. The Padres have a significant advantage here in this race toward the playoff spot and the wild card, at least over the Atlanta Braves at this point.
Which is really all you're just kind of worried about the one team that could slide right in as you if you crumble or if you go hit a bad stretch or whatever. But I do agree, you know, you need to avoid that. You can't count on any wins. I mean, you look at the White Sox, they've won.
I'm sorry, did I say the Phillies? The Braves play, I just want to make sure I got this accurate. I put it down. The Braves play the Mets, the Royals. And the Dodgers. Okay. Not the Phillies. That's Royals, yeah.
But, you just ruined my day.
Sorry. Yeah, I was all excited for that.
But three playoff teams.
Yeah.
You know, in their remaining six series.
The
Padres have Dodgers and Diamondbacks.
Sure. And Astros. So they have, I mean, it's no joke.
I mean, it's similar, but the Padres are in a much better starting position
Correct.
Than the Braves are.
Correct.
And they've got the White Sox, too.
Yeah, you can afford, you know, you can afford a series loss in there. Not that you want one, not that you're going to, you know, not that any of us would be happy with that. But, yeah, the games against the White Sox, been here, I mean, you have to win all three. They've won 33 games this year. You just have to. But, again, they're in the best position you can be in sports is the ability to control your own destiny. You hear it all the time, but it is so true. You don't have to get help from other teams. Getting help is great. You got some last night. That's fantastic. But you win games, you will be in. It's that simple. We win, we take care of business,
absolutely.
We're rolling.
If the Padres go 11-6, it's almost impossible for them to miss the playoffs at this
right.
point. The Braves would have to play insanely well.
Almost
15-3.
Undefeated, right.
You know, with that schedule, that is all, and the injuries they've suffered, that is not really a feasible finish to the season. So, yep. I mean,
well, they would have to, like, completely tank. And Arizona stays super hot
right.
over the next 14.
No, they'd have to re-get hot because they're very average right now.
Like, they Arizona. Would have to play out of their minds for the next 14, and we would have to be horrible over our next 14 for that last series, those last three games, to not be for a playoff
spot. Correct. Correct. And, you kind of hope at a maximum it comes down to is, oh, well, we're in. They're in. Let's see who plays at home, which is important. It's absolutely important. But, you know, hey, listen, if we get down to that point and that's all those three games matter, is seeding and where you play, I don't care. Good. We're in. As
you
long as we
care.
Make
it. I think it's very
it's important.
I think it's,
I want it here, of course.
It's a slight notch below getting in is having a home playoff series.
We play better on the road, which is fine. I you know my stance. We get to hit first. Fine. We give up a lot of early runs. Let us, if we end up playing in Arizona, as bummed as I am about not going down there to the ballpark and being a part of the energy and being at a bar before the game and all that, yes, it's going to suck. Not going to be that upset. As long as they're in, if we happen to get first licks and our pitcher doesn't have to go out there and give up two runs in the first and we play from behind, I'm absolutely okay with it. I can make myself feel better if it's at home. I can make myself feel better if it's on the road. I'm in.
All I'm saying is I think 9-8 is probably good enough.
100%.
If the Braves went 12-6 and the Padres went 9-8, Padres are in the playoffs.
Yep.
So they'd have to, even if they won every series, that wouldn't be good enough if the Padres go 9-8, if they didn't sweep at least one of them. All right, we'll come back. We've got a little take on Woods for you, and let's talk about the Monday Night Football, fantasy football controversy last night as well. Next on 97.3 The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey. See ya.